Yes, what did Jesus say of the time of the end? Good question. What did he say? I'm going to look at it. We're going to get to it tomorrow, I think, when we talk about the first seal broken. But he said nation will rise against nation. Have you ever heard of a little thing called World War One? Yeah, okay. Follow-up question, have you ever heard of a little thing called World War II? World War II. These are not local skirmishes. Some have said that the book of Revelation describes God's affliction of Israel. It all is about Israel, bringing Israel into the kingdom. I agree with that. There's my lighting again. Rats, what am I going to do about this? Hang on a second. All right, 1 second. I got to fix the lighting. The sun just came out. It seems so unnatural. Oh, now I've really blown it. It seems so unnatural for the sun to come out while speaking of the days when the sun will be darkened, indeed. But Jesus spoke of nation rising against nation. And of course, we've had world wars since then. And I really don't know of any world war. Let me think about this. You can help me here. I don't know of any world war that has arisen since the time when Christ spoke those words until World War One. Now, when A.E. Nock is writing The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, I believe it's 1932 or 1936. So he has seen the World War One, but he has not seen World War Two. But it's easy to see to me. I don't know. Maybe it's hard for some people that the taking of peace from the earth and the rising of a man of lawlessness who will demand the fealty of the entire earth. How can this not be the entire earth? It affects everyone. World War One, World War Two, you can even say, there were certain theaters of conflict. There was the Pacific theater, the European theater. So nobody is claiming that there's going to be hand-to-hand combat in Nebraska. Or Saskatchewan. But what we are saying is that it's going to affect the entire earth so that the economies of earth will be blighted, because as we are going to, we're going to go back to Daniel. We're going to show you again the Daniel chapter 2, the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the head of gold, the chest of silver. We're going to see that each successive element is a weaker element, and yet it takes over the former one. So there's something besides armament that is enabling a weaker metal, which is the symbol, the metal, to take over the stronger one. And it's money. It's the fact that money now speaks louder than tanks and louder than guns. And the whole earth is going to be run by a few people who control all the money. And while this may be located in one certain place, it will affect the entire earth. This unveiling affects the entire earth. And it's not going to be as it was in the past where nations, for instance, the United States, we are the nation that tends to run to the aid of other nations. And we like to, when we spot evil dictators rising and overflowing their borders, we take action against that. So nation helps nation. We have alliances. We have pacts. We have axes. You had the German axis of power in World War II. Japan, Germany, and Italy. And you had the alliance of the Allies, which was the other countries, the good guys, okay? But this is not going to happen when we see the wars, the rumors of wars, and the actual wars that come. And we're actually at the beginning of World War III now with the rise of the Soviet Union and the militant Islam. Just say Islam. You don't even need to add militant in front of that anymore. Taking over many of the nations of the Middle East. We see the rising of these nations, but it's going to be that this is going to get so bad, ladies and gentlemen, that nation will not be able to help other nation, because each nation is going to have problems of its own. It's going to be a new kind of conflict. And we're seeing this really with the terrorism spreading across the globe and the rise of Islam. And that was prophesied in Daniel. If you haven't heard me teach on this, I'm going to teach on it again, because what we see these powers coming together. And it's so interesting that a trial brings former enemies into friendship, doesn't it? We saw Pilate and Herod becoming friends with a common enemy. And we're going to see that these afflictions that hit the earth are going to bring power to a head. When I say a head, I mean to say that it's going to centralize it. Centralized power. You don't want that. You don't want it. Because human beings can't handle it. Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But each nation, no single nation is going to be able to cope with its own conditions, because they are going to gradually increase. Oh, here's the white horse rider. How wonderful. But he's going to rise on the heels of war to run the world. It's going to be a Western confederation. And it's going to be the, quote, call it this, last great struggle between East and West. Now, remarkably, this is written, this book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, written by A. Enoch, was written in the 30s. But listen what he says here. I'm going to quote him directly from page 215 of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Here it is. The warfare indicated under the four horsemen seems to have the effect of transforming the four beasts of Daniel. And when we get to the wild beast of Revelation, we're going to see that the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, that Daniel saw rising out of the sea, they had a certain amount of horns, certain amount of wings. We're going to see that these beasts become one terrifying beast in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It is the conflict between, listen to this. It's the last great struggle between East and West. OMG, between East and West. And this is what the man of lawlessness, the white horse rider, will become the leader of Western nations. This is why the man of lawlessness will rise out of the West, probably Greece, for reasons that will be elaborated upon, but certainly will represent the Christian nations, because, ladies and gentlemen, these four beasts of Daniel's vision are not national blocks. They're not axes. They are religions. And they become headed up under a one-world religion, which becomes cloaked with administrational power, with governmental power. That is, government and politics become one. Religion and politics become one. And they become one under the wild beast. That's what the wild beast is. The wild beast is an amalgamation of four religions. Why are they amalgamated? Because, as I read here, it is the ultimate struggle, the last great struggle between East and West. Because the East, the Eastern beast, is one of the Eastern beasts in Daniel, is a leopardess. And this is figured by the Islamic religion. And it is the most mobile of religions. In Daniel's prophecy, it had the most wings. And I'm going to take you back to Daniel. I don't know when I'm going to do that. I'm probably going to do it when we get to the wild beast. And interestingly, this doesn't happen until after chapter 11, verse 19, because there we begin the religious deliverance of the earth. Remember, the political deliverance of the earth from chapter 3 to chapter 11, roughly. Before that, we have the prophetic section of the scroll. And when we see the seven seals take us to the coming of Christ in chapter 11. Then why doesn't the book of Revelation end? Because we go back and rehearse the same period of time, only from a religious perspective. And we see the bowls poured out. And this has to do with God's retribution, God's judgment against the religions of this world, which are just as evil, if not more so, to him than the political powers. And Christianity is the first religion destroyed. Wait till I show you this. This is going to just chill you, really. It's going to chill you, especially as you see the judgment of God on it. And at that time, when I get there, I'll give you a preempted a little bit. I will tell you to judge the current religions in the world with all their whitewash, all their sanctified talk, all their fancy buildings, judge it in light of how God judges it at the end. When you see how God treats it at the end, you will have a better perspective of how evil it is now. And I told you that the religions will be animated by the wild beast. Remember, I said that just as I looked at these composite figures last week. The lambkin is a composite of eyes and horns. The wild beast is a composite of horns and more horns. And that these are going to be manifested on earth in a pleasing fashion. You're not going to see the evil that animates it. That's behind the scenes. Except we're getting a behind the scenes look. But to the earth, it's going to look wonderful. Finally, we've gotten the world together. And we are going to end wars. We're going to end pestilence and famine. We're going to end any economic problems by gathering, by unifying one world government. This will occur, and there will be a representative of the one world government, and it will be the White Horse Rider, also known as the Man of Lawlessness or the Antichrist. Don't think that this is some figure of speech, as many have said. Oh, Martin, you can't take Revelation literally. We're not literally looking for a man of lawlessness. And yet, the conqueror is the explanation of the rider on the horse. Therefore, God's explanation of the vision is literal. That's a rule we've been following. It's a rule we will continue to follow. And it's the only way that you are going to get revelation here, that you are going to see Jesus Christ unveiled rather than shrouded in mystery.